Lovely to see you all today. And have you noticed the jacaranda trees are starting to sprout? Have you seen that? On the way in this morning, I thought, oh, beautiful. Spring well and truly is here. There's going to be a carpet of blue next week when you come to church all around this area. Very beautiful. Now, the title of my message this morning is The Last Days. The Last Days. Our world right now is crazy. Right now, there are possibilities in at least two, but more than two, spots that could spark a world war that would be nuclear. Right now, you're living in a day and age like nobody ever has lived in before. We're living in horrible times. We're living in frightening times. Right now, theologians, Bible scholars, are looking at what is happening in Israel, and many of them believe that Israel is a timepiece to the end times. Many believe that. And many preachers today around the world will be preaching that. I think Israel is a bit of a time clock. I've got no problems with that at all. But if I want to know when Jesus is coming again, I see something else that is so clear that Jesus said. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. He's not talking there about Israel and wars. He says something incredible. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Let me just read you a few words. We haven't got this up, but let me just read this. What it was like in the days of Noah. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. That's God that's talking about. God is actually saying at the time of Noah that he was grieved that he made man, that God's heart was full of pain. Did you know God can have pain? Well, according to that, he is speaking. God's heart was full of pain. You just go six chapters before, and you see that God made man. And when he made man, Genesis chapter 1 and all the animals and the beautiful earth, it says God saw that it was good. And when man was on the earth, God said it was very good. So what God created was very good. And something went wrong with the very good, that it became very bad and evil and wicked. And God said that he will wipe out men from the face of the earth and all the creatures as well, apart from those that was taken into the ark, because the whole world had become mad. The animals were killing, eating each other, destroying each other. The law of the jungle was there. God never created what we call the law of the jungle. We call it the law of the jungle. God never made that. It was never that animals should hunt down and be predators over other animals, that men should hunt down men and women and be predators over them. That was never God's intention. He made a beautiful earth, a beautiful world, a wonderful garden for which they lived in. They had everything that they wanted. And then in Genesis chapter 6, about 2,000 years after that, God's now saying, I am sorry that I put man on the earth. I am grieved. My heart hurts because of what I have made. Wow. That's pretty serious stuff. Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And then immediately after those words that I read to you, it then says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Even though God was grieved, God was hurting, and God wished he'd not made man, he saw in Noah something that was possible. And so he saved Noah. He saved Noah in the ark. And can I say this, that when Noah went into that ark, God shut the door. And can I say this? It took Noah 120 years to build that ark. If you read in Hebrew, it says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of what is right. And he did not get one convert. For 120 years he preached as he built that ark. Not one man, not one woman believed what Noah was saying. He was predicting the end times. He was predicting disaster. He was telling the people, get ready because rain is going to come. He was building an ark, a ship on dry land. That's what he was doing because God told him to do that. And the people laughed and the people mocked and the people ridiculed him. But he was a preacher of righteousness. And the time came when the judgments of God came up and Noah went into the ark. And the Bible says God shut the door. And the rains came down and the ark went up. That which destroyed the people saved Noah and his family. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. As in the days of Noah, wicked. But do you know those people who lived in that day and age didn't know it? Those wicked people didn't know they were wicked. They were justifying everything they did. They were justifying their immorality. They were justifying everything that they did that was wrong as if it was right. And I'm telling you, I never thought that I'd live to see a day and age like this where we are justifying on every hand and side the wickedness that we do. The same-sex marriage, the abortion, the transgender rubbish, the absolute woke rubbish, the ridicule that but they think it's so good. They think it's so right. They think it's so balanced. They think it's so proper. And you stand up and you speak against it and you're the fool. You're the idiot. You're the one that's put down. That's the world we live in. I never thought I'd live to see that. I've been a Christian. I got born again 68 years ago. And I never thought that I'd live to see a day and age like this. When they talked about same-sex marriage, I thought, no, this will never happen in the Western world for sure. It's happened. And you speak against it and you're in big trouble. Homosexuality, it's there, it's rampant. You speak against it, you're in trouble. The world's gone mad. The world's gone bad. As in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The Apostle Paul says, in the last times, in the last days, many will depart from the faith. We're seeing that in the Western world. Churches today are not full like they used to be. Churches battle to get numbers in today. People don't want to go. Even Christians who are churchgoers don't want to go every week. And they want to get away as quick as they can. Church is just a little bit of something they want to put onto their life, but it doesn't mean too much at all. Many, said Paul, will depart from the faith. And then he said another scripture, which was quite amazing, that I want to read to you just now, and we're going to have it up. Now, when Paul wrote this, let me just say this, he was in prison, in a Roman prison. And I do a lot of study of history. I love history. And I looked at the days and age of which Jesus lived in and which the disciples first lived in. And it was a day and age where life was so cheap and you'd think nothing could be worse than that. Slavery was rampant. If a slave lived to the age of 30, that slave did well. Most people's lives were 45 to 50. If you've gone beyond the 50, you've done well. Because of the condition, there was no... When Paul wrote this letter to Timothy from prison, there were no handouts. There was no medical facilities like we know today. There was no pension, no superannuation. People were taxed all over the world by the Romans. And you know what? They didn't get anything for their taxes. They wasn't promised, you pay taxes to the Romans and we'll do this for you, we'll do that. There wasn't. The taxation system was horrific. And nobody got anything for it, but they just had to do it to stay alive. The day and age in which Paul wrote these letters, this one to Timothy, were horrible days. But listen to what he says. This is a prophetic utterance by the great apostle Paul to Timothy, who was a young pastor. He said this, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Hey, he's in prison for his faith. Short time after this, he had his head chopped off for his faith. But he's looking down the annals of time by the Spirit of God. And he says, in the last days, there's going to be terrible times. What could be worse than that? Where he was. Come on. There will be terror. And then he goes to explain what these terrible times are. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. Well, would you agree with me that you've just read what our day and age is like? Come on, that was written for us. We're in the last days with these terrible times. Let me just read it again. Try and get a hold of this, because what I am reading to you, the people out there don't think it's bad. They're not convicted by it. They're not upset about it. Listen to it. People will be lovers of themselves. Well, how many people in the world today take selfies every single day? Come on. Don't you think there's something wrong with you can't do anything but have a selfie? Selfie, selfie, and show yourself. And then you put a different picture of yourself on Facebook. Just, and it's all about you. The way you look, the way you dress. All of lovers of self. Lovers of self. If this is offending you this morning, good. You online, if it offends you, good. Listen, don't you switch off. You listen to what I got to say. People, this is the word of God. These are not John Warwick's words. It's the word of the living God to the day and age in which we live, to us. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money. Hey, do we have to say any more about that? Lovers of money. Boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, have nothing to do with them. Now, I've started off this message pretty bad, haven't I? Come on. It's going to get worse. I'm not giving you a lift today. I don't want to give you a lift. I want to hammer you for all it's worth, because we need it. We need it. Terrible atrocities have been committed in Israel, the likes of which we can't even imagine. We've seen a few pictures, but we haven't seen actually what really has happened. And then the war is being reciprocated in Gaza, and innocent people are dying there as well. it's a possibility to spark a world war. Whether it will or not, I don't know. But what did annoy me was after this thing had happened, and before Israel even had a go at Gaza, before they even had a go at the Hamas, we were protesting, not we, but they people were protesting in Australia, right near the Opera House. And the words these people were shouting was, "Gas the Jews. Gas the Jews." I don't know whether you saw that or not or heard of it, but it went all around the world that the Australian Muslims that have come out are shouting, "Gas the Jews." They did not say, "Gas the Israelis." They said, "Gas the Jews." And they were meaning every Jew, everywhere in the world. For those of you who haven't studied history, you just take a look at the history of the Jews. For some incredible reason, beyond man's imagination, nations have tried to get rid of the Jews completely. They want to eradicate Jewish people from the face of the earth. It is insane. Because if you ask them why, they can't really tell you. But there's something in so many people, not just in Muslims, strongly in the Muslim, but not just in Muslims, in ordinary people, get rid of the Jews. And it's been like this since Jesus was resurrected and went to heaven. Forty years after Jesus was crucified, the Jews had rejected him completely and were still having animal sacrifices in their temple. They had rejected that he was their Messiah, their Savior, their Lord, totally. As a result, Jerusalem was destroyed. And all the sacrifices along with it. The temple was destroyed. So the Jews today do not sacrifice to the animals like they did, but they still reject the Messiah. All Jews look for a Savior to come. They rejected their Messiah. How sad is that? Because ever since that time, the devil has wanted to destroy them. The devil has gone after them at every, and I could show you Bible studies on this, every possible, the devil. I'll tell you who wants to destroy the Jews, the devil. Did you hear me? The devil. Because they brought about the oracles of God. Jesus was a Jew. The first disciples were Jew. The first church was Jewish. And the devil hates it. And so not only does the devil hate the church, he hates the Jews, and he tries his hardest to destroy them. Let me say this, and I don't want to get into the deep theology of this, but just let me just say this. I believe that when Jesus returns to this earth, which will be very soon, the Jews will be in their own nation. Do you know why I believe that? Because he promised this to Abraham. God made a promise to Abraham which was totally unconditional. All the other promises concerning Israel are conditional promises, all of them. But he said to Abraham, "I give you this land for you and your children, your children's children. I give it to you. No conditions. It's yours." So I tell you, when Jesus comes to set things straight, when he comes to judge the earth, I'm telling you, the Jews will be in their own country. You will not dislodge the Jews. And I don't care who comes against them. I don't care if Iran joins in, Lebanon joins in. Don't care even Russia joins. Don't care even if China joins in. They won't dislodge the Jews because they're going against a promise that God made to a man, that man of faith, Abraham. So they will be there. But let me say this to you. And this is where Christians need to wake up. Just as there is this insane hatred for the Jews and want to absolutely obliterate them from the earth, so the devil has the same hatred for you. The devil's plan and all of his cohorts are to obliterate the Church of Jesus Christ from this earth. Just as the Jews are hated, just as the Jews are despised, and it's becoming an insanity in itself, so there's an insanity about getting rid of Christians. All around the world, Satan wants Christians destroyed. Do you know why? Because Christians interfere with what he's doing. Now, a lot of Christians at times don't think they're doing much, but let me just tell you what Jesus said about his followers. You're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. Yes, you are. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And if it wasn't for the Christian presence in the earth today, I don't know what this earth would be like. It's bad now. It's getting to be like it was in the days of Noah. But without that Christian presence, it would be even worse. In fact, it may have exploded and been obliterated. I don't know. But I know that the devil hates you. He can't stand you. And he's shouting out, kill you, kill you, kill you. He wants to drag you down. He wants to pull you down. He wants to shut your mouth. He wants to make sure you shut. Our brother was praying about the gospel being preached around the world and how beautiful are the feet of those. Well, I'm telling you, the devil hates that scripture. He hates those Christians who are going to carry the gospel. He hates our missionaries that we have in these different... He hates them. Something went wrong in Israel on the 7th of October. Something went wrong. The Jews, the Israelites, were caught sleeping. They hadn't got a clue that they were going to be invaded. With all their technology, with all their satellites, the nation of Israel is foremost with their army and the artillery and the things that they have. They've got satellites on the Gaza, on Lebanon, on Iran, other countries. They can read what is happening. But some reason... And they're trying to find out now why. Why was the army napping? What happened to let Hamas break down those fences and fire those rockets and come in and slaughter and murder and rape those people? What happened? And it took some time before the actual soldiers turned up. They were napping. They were sleeping. They were not ready. Embarrassed. Embarrassment for the leaders. And now they're looking at the politics of it and all the things that have happened in the past year or two, and they're blaming that. But I'm just telling you, you can't blame falling asleep when the enemy's at the door. You can't say, oh, well, I thought... You stop it. The Apostle Paul says, awake, you who are asleep. Get up. Christ will give you light. They're not my words, they're Bible words. He's talking to Christians. Stop sleeping. Stop nodding off spiritually. Stop thinking, well, this world's going to... Yeah, I'm going to plan for my kids and my kids' kids. I'm going to plan for the... Because everything's going to be hunky-dory. No, it's not. The world's falling down around you. Immorality is continuing to show itself in ways I never thought it would. We live in a wicked, evil world where millions are aborted, babies, every year, millions. How do you think that makes God feel? How do you think God feels every time a baby is aborted? How do you think Almighty God feels? He hates it. He is grieved. He's just about had enough with what this world is doing. And I'm telling you, I think the church is napping. I think the church is sleeping. I think the church has internalized. I think the church has forgotten how to preach the gospel. I'm talking about the Western world, not talking about what's happening out over there. I'm not talking about that. In Asia, there's wonderful things happening with the gospel. In Africa, there's wonderful things happening with the gospel. But in our Western world, we're napping, we're sleeping. In our Western world, we just want to know what we're going to get for our taxes. We just want to know if we can get more money, more pay. We don't want the cost of living to rise, because if it does, that's less for us. Friends, there is a dying world in which we're living, and as Christians, and we've got to wake up. Paul knew this. He was well aware of this. When Paul wrote that to Timothy, he was in prison. But he knew a day was coming that will be a horrible day in which to live, and we're in it. Listen, if you don't know the signs of the times as a Christian, and I speak to you all online as well, if you don't know, you're sleeping. You're not looking at the Bible. You're not reading the Word of God. You've fallen asleep spiritually, and you're just hoping that this life is all it is. Well, it's not. All of a sudden, they were attacked. And I want to tell you now, listen to this. Every single Israeli in that country is awake. Do you hear me? And they're preparing. They were preparing for an onslaught that could happen again. They're getting prepared. At the moment, there's no more concerts being held. At the moment, they're looking at how can we combat this. Can I say, church, I believe we need a new move of God in the church, in the Western world. I say, Lord, move again by your Spirit. Waken your church up, Lord, so that we can pray more, so that we can read your word more, so that we can proclaim the gospel more. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Ephesians, again, he was in prison when he wrote this. Chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. He's writing to Christians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that when you take your stand against the devil's schemes, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're not fighting Muslims. We're not fighting Hindus. We're not fighting Buddhists. We're not fighting atheists. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Listen to this now. But against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I want to say to you that Hamas is an echo of that evil force I've just read about. Did you hear that? Hamas is an echo of that. Paul's saying there's a battle, there's a fight going on. And he says, it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. He's not talking about men and women. He's not talking about presidents and kings. He's not talking about generals in the army. He's talking about the forces of darkness that sometimes the church has become blind to. The forces of darkness haven't gone away. Demonology is still real. People still get attacked by demons and possessed by them. That's the world in which we live. And if you don't like this preaching, I'm sorry, you've really gone to sleep. If you feel I'm preaching something ridiculous and old-fashioned, well, I'm preaching something old-fashioned, but not ridiculous. Jesus cast out demons. The apostles cast out demons. Paul's writing from a prison. He's not having a go at the Romans. He's having a go at the forces of darkness, the wicked forces of darkness. So he says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray, and pray, and pray, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Great advice. He says, put on God's armor, not your own, because yours will fail. Mine will fail. Put on God's armor. We need to stand because the days are bad. And if you don't think they're bad, I've got to say it again. You're asleep. Ask God to open the spiritual eyes of your understanding so you could see the atrocities that are happening all around us. The slaughter, the murder. I mean, with the war of Ukraine, this amazes me. Russia and Ukraine, the atrocities that are being committed there, suddenly that's taken the back seat. You don't read about it, you don't see about it. As if, oh, that's, it's not. In fact, I've just heard this morning as I was looking, he said that the Ukraine have just slaughtered hundreds and hundreds of Russians. They just couldn't withstand the onslaught. And those Russians, soldiers, most of them don't want to be there. They're fighting, but they don't want to be there. It's not their war. It's Putin's. But they're being killed. Ukrainians are being killed. Mothers are weeping and crying. Families are destroyed. Every week they're having burials for young men. It's happening. That's a world in which we live. And then Myanmar, what a slaughter is going on there. A slaughter of innocent people and tribes. I could go on and on and on. The world is in a mess. And we want to shut it out and just look at our stupid woke things. God have mercy on our souls. I was listening to this woke person talking the other day, transgender woke, saying how wicked Israel is. How wicked Israel is. And they all pay for what they are doing. And I thought to myself, you are a transgender. Go and try and live in Gaza. You'll be dead within a day. Go and live in Israel. They'll let you go in there. By the way, let me just tell you, Israel is not Christian. Israel is not even religious. The majority of Israelis are agnostics. They don't believe in God. Or if they do, they're not sure. There's only a small percentage of Israelis that are religious. And those Zionists, they've all got it wrong. They're at the wailing wall, praying, crying, weeping, looking for the Messiah. He's already come. He's here. It's a stupid world in which we live, a strange world in which we live. But we're falling asleep. We should have on the whole armor of God. As I pointed out, I'm bringing this to a close. As I pointed out when I preached on the armor of God once, Paul was taking his example from a Roman soldier who was in prison. See this Roman soldier. And he said, put on the helmet of salvation, breastplate of, you know, put salvation on. God's armor, God's salvation, God's righteousness, God's truth. You understand? God's shoes, put them on. But there was no armor on the back of a Roman. None. Roman soldiers only had breastplates. Because they were always meant to be going forward, never turning around and running. Because when they turned in battle, they were the most vulnerable. And when the Roman Empire was at its height, those soldiers knew how to fight. And no matter who they came against, none of those who they came against had the same armor that the Romans had. None of them. They didn't have the same shields that the Romans had. They didn't have the same weapons that the Romans had. And the Romans would go forward, never backward. So church, put on the full armor of God, and notice in that full armor, there's nothing on the back. The only thing you've got on your back, and I thank God for this, is a shield of faith. Because David says, King David said, you are a shield around me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Hallelujah. And so I might not see what's going off behind me, but God sees it. And I can see it so long as I'm going forward, whatever's happening around me, God will deal with that. Amen. As he'll deal with those things in the front of us. So church, it's time to wake up. And you may go away and say, well, that was an interesting sermon, but negative, wasn't it? Well, I'm telling you, it's not negative if you take notice of it. If you take no notice of it, it's negative, because you'll go out there and you'll forget it. And when trouble comes knocking at your door, it surely will. Can you imagine if somebody come knocking at my door? I opened the door and this guy said to me, I can't stand you or your dog. I'm going to smash you up. And I said, whoa, hang on a minute. Hang on. Just stop. Don't hit me. I'm not ready. Come back next week when I'll get myself ready and come back next week and I'll check you on. Do you think he's going to say, oh, okay then? He's not going to do that. Some Christians think they can get away with it like that. When trouble comes knocking at their door, oh, you're not ready for it. Oh, give us another few. Let me pray. Let me get into the Word. Get into the Word now. Pray now. Be ready now. Be alert now. Be awake now. Don't sleep. Because we're living in the last days. And it's not me that said it. It was Paul who said there will be terrible times. And this is the thing that disturbs me. I close with this. When Paul said there will be terrible times, we sort of imagine, what do those terrible times mean? Persecution? Being burned at the stake? Having your fingernails ripped out because you're a Christian, which has happened right the way through the last 2,000 years. I mean, if you just look at the Reformation, what happened there, the way Christians suffered, and today, the way that Christians are suffering. I had a lovely testimony from Jonas, who's doing the radio. He was in India, and he met up with a pastor from, what was that kingdom? Is it Bhutan? There's a kingdom. There's a kingdom that's squashed between China and India. And it's a Buddhist kingdom. And it's being called the Lucky Kingdom because they're trying to get as many tourists from around the world there because it's such a beautiful place. Now it's called the Lucky Kingdom. And he met this pastor that had come out because he had heard that Jossie was in northern India. Not Jossie, Jonas was in northern India, and he'd heard about the being able to get the gospel on the radio waves into his country. And they got nothing's happening. They got no receivers or anything. So he's come to find out about it. And his name was Pastor Buddha. That's his name. It's a strong Buddhist country, so his parents called him Buddha. So he got born again, and he still got his name, Pastor Buddha. And he said to Jonas, you can't preach the gospel openly in my land. There are no churches. You can't find a single church in this kingdom, not one. He says, but there's loads, and they're all underground. They can't come out of the top, but there's loads and loads of Christians. People are getting born again all the time. And he says, but if you preach the gospel, you're put in prison. Literally put in prison. He says, I've been in prison 5 times. Pastor Buddha had been in prison 5 times. Dirty, stinking prison. He said, the last time I was in, just a few months ago, they put me in there. And it was full of all, the rooms were full of all these prisoners, Buddhist criminals. And he says, so I preached the gospel to them. He said, a priest, and we got some saved. We got people, criminals, born again. and I've taught them the word. And then they asked him, we want to be baptized. And he says, there's no water. There's no water. They want to be baptized. There's no water. So he says to Judah, do you know what I did? I went to the toilet and got the toilet water and baptized them with it. Hallelujah. Come on. I saw some of your faces turn up then. But those guys were blessed to be baptized. You know, we've got everything so good for us. Those guys face death. They go out of prison and they preach Jesus to be back in again. When Paul said terrible times, I don't think he was just referring to that. That's always been. There's always been persecution around the world against Christians. There is today more Christian martyrs today than there's ever been. It's just happening. But I don't think he was referring to that, because that had happened from his day and age. Look what happened to him. But when he said terrible times, I think he was referring to the times of the Western world that are literally insane. Terrible times when Christians are being slowly put to sleep. Shut your mouth. Don't say anything. Don't talk about the Bible. People will think you're mad. Don't talk about Jesus. He's just a figment of your imagination. And where the terrible times is that the church has come under such a psychological, educational, sociological persecution that we've never seen before. That Christians, good Christians like you watching this, like me, good Christians, but have not the boldness to speak out, lest we're made to look that big. Well, it's time we didn't care what people thought about us when we tell them about Jesus. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's the first, the last, the Alpha, the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. There's no one before God. There'll be no one after God. He is it. And you can laugh and you can mock and people can mock all around about the Bible. Well, I'm telling you, the Bible has withstood the test of time. You can't destroy it. You can't get rid of it. You can't burn it. You can't get rid of it. It's the word of the living God that last it will live and abide forever. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't get rid of him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's who you've got your trust and confidence in. So, church, I'm challenging you right now, along with myself, along with you people who are watching this. I'm challenging you. Why don't you make a stand for Jesus? Why don't you say, I realize these days, Lord, I don't want to go to sleep. Lord, they're terrible times, but I don't want to brush it off. They're terrible times, but I don't want to go looking for something that's nice to read or nice to look at or nice. I want to realize, Lord, what is really happening out there. Because while I speak to you, there's people out there right now within a kilometer of where we are, lots of them thinking of suicide. Lots of them on drugs. Lots of them are addicted to something, whether it be sex, gambling, cigarettes, alcohol, addicted. People out there, you look at them and you think it's all good. It's not good what's happening on the inside. And this government and any other government does not have the answer for what's happening on the inside. You can try and stop drugs. You can start getting a strong police force or the army out. You could try your hardest to stop it. You'll never stop it. But what you won't stop, if you stop even the spread of drugs to a degree, you won't stop what's going off in the hearts of people. And the only person that can raise them up and meet their need is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the risen Lord. And I want you to make a stand. I want you to say, Lord, I do not want to be asleep in this day and age. We've got a couple of minutes left. I don't want to fall asleep. And if I'm falling asleep, please forgive me. Open my spiritual eyes and help me to start reading the Bible like I used to. Help me start praying like I used to or like I know I should do. Help me to start to witness on every occasion that I get. Help me, Lord. I'm challenging all of you. I'm challenging every one of you. I'm challenging myself. We're in terrible times. I want to make sure that when Jesus comes, I'm in that ark and God has closed the door. I don't want to face the wrath of God because it's coming. I don't want to face the anger of God. I don't want that. I want to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. I want to go into the covenant of God through the blood and know that I'm going to be with him for eternity. That's what I want. Now you may say, these are just the ramblings of an old man up there. Well, maybe you can think that. That's okay. I've lived long enough to see this world change, and I'm looking from an absolute Christian perspective. And God's heart is grieved, and he's hurting. And you're going to hear that trumpet blast. You're going to hear that angel cry, and you're going to see Jesus coming in the clouds. I want to be ready for that. I don't want to be asleep when that happens. I don't want to be sitting in a chair where everybody's taken and I'm left behind. I don't want that. I want to make sure that I'm right up there because I'm listening to the word of God and I've got the whole armor of God. And some of you, maybe you've not even asked God to put his armor on you for a long time. Well, why don't you do it this morning? Why don't you make a stand before God and say, God, I need that helmet of salvation. I need that breastplate of righteousness. I need the belt buckled with truth, the truth of your word. I need that. I need my feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I need that shield of faith. I need that sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God, I want to take on your armor. So this is my appeal to you. If that's you, if you feel God spoken to you and you want to make a stand, do you know what I want you to do? And I don't care who comes and who doesn't. I'm just making this appeal. If nobody comes, nobody comes. But I'm making this appeal for you to get up and come and stand at the front as an act of God. I really want to do what you want me to do. Just come and stand at the front and say, God, I really do. I want that armor of God to be totally on me. I'll just give you a minute or two as you're coming. Then we're going to pray. You don't come for me, please, and don't come because other people are here. You come because it's between you and God. God sees your heart. I can't see anybody's heart. Only God sees the heart. But I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you another second or two to come. If God's speaking to you, if you know you should be, well, come. Don't be asleep. Don't let the wrath of God take you by surprise. Don't let the judgments of God take you by surprise. I'm serious. These are serious days, and we need to do serious things for God. I'm going to pray right now. If you need to come, come. Father, you see each one of us. You see our hearts better and clearer than what we can see. But Lord, we stand here today saying we want to do right by you. You've always done right by us. You've always provided for us. You've always blessed us. You've always led us. Lord, we stand here in these last days. We don't know, Lord, if you'll come today. We don't know. We don't know how long we've got left. We don't know. But Lord, we want to be ready. And Lord, if we have another week or two or three or four or a month, Lord, may those weeks, days, may they be used for you. May we take opportunities to tell people and to pray for people and to tell them about the love of God. Lord, may we teach our children the truth. Thank you for the kids that are out there today, Lord. But don't let us leave it, Lord, just to the teachers out there. Help us as parents to teach them the truth. Help us to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Help us to encourage them to come to church, to worship you, Lord. Father, don't let us become so... Lord, I remember, Lord, when things used to be so black and white. Today, there's so many shades of gray. Oh, God, forgive us for all the shades of gray that we look at. You don't see shades of gray. You see black and white. Your word is truth, and the truth sets us free. So I pray for everybody standing here, myself included. Lord, may our lives turn around for the good. May we search you out like never before. May this church be the powerful church that you've called us to be. Thank you for everyone here, Lord. May you answer their prayers. May you meet their needs. And may every one of us put on right now the whole armor of God. Lord, we put it on. Lord, dress us. Lord, your armor, dress us in your armor. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you.